Hello, everyone. This is Dark Journalist. Today, I have a special interview with geoengineering author Ilana Freeland. Now, Ilana has been researching the emerging technology menace known as the Space Fence, which was created by military contractors Lockheed Martin. In her book, Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown, she describes a process where the planet itself is weaponized and the air we breathe is converted into an antenna. So every human being becomes a walking electromagnetic tower. The Space Fence was introduced as far back as the 1960s, but was first deployed as part of President Reagan's Strategic Defense Initiative, or SDI Star Wars. President Trump's moves towards a space force that will weaponize space and the launch of 5G technology towers are clearing the way to making the Space Fence fully operational. Is this the global control grid? Let's go ask Ilana Freeland. Ilana, it's great to have you back with us. Now, I absolutely loved your recent book, Under an Ionized Sky, From Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. It's so incredible in the sense that you put everything together there with unparalleled documented research. So much of this information has been strewn about in different corners of research and on the internet, but your work is a real refreshing collection of it all. Now I feel like I understand just how doomed humanity really is. So thank you for that. But seriously, the puzzle pieces that you've assembled here form a rich tapestry of information that we just didn't have before. So I guess the first question is, how did it all happen?
I've thought about it, and it was actually the first step in a way, not meaning conscious or intentional necessarily, but that it was the first step toward seeing how interconnected all this is, that it's not just the chemical trails, it's not just the ionospheric heaters, it's this space fence lockdown, it's this huge wireless lockdown on everything. And now slowly people are picking up that the vaccinations are involved, the GMOs are involved, that everything is involved in this. And it was that piece had to be done first, really, in order to see how the geoengineering is engaged in all of it.
Yeah, it's interesting how united all of these seemingly disparate elements are, actually. I had not thought anything about vaccinations being associated with the ionosphere.
No, right. You had the ionosphere in mind. You didn't have the piece that they've turned our atmosphere into a mini ionosphere.
Yes. And
that is one, that's the big daddy delivery system. Then the mama delivery system is the foods, the GMOs. And then the baby, and I'm not trying to make a joke here, it'd be a very bad joke, but the baby is the vaccinations delivery system. These are the three components of the transhumanist future, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is amazing, Ilana, because so many of these elements that you've been talking about, they do seem a lot more like, it's almost like people can start to wrap their brain around these things that you were writing 5-10 years ago.
Yeah, well, not that long ago, but it's a revelation all the time. Of course, I wrote the first book in 2014. Then out of that one, there were a whole host of questions that I was then guided by, remember Billy Hayes, the harp man? Yes. Billy guided me toward the Space Fence piece, the SDI, back, you know, kind of like Dracula, the return of Dracula. it's back. And he helped, he was there to help explain different components. Billy didn't actually explain the connections all that much, but, you know, he's MK Ultra. He was programmed for electromagnetics since he was a child, so he's like an encyclopedia of the previous generation electromagnetics before the advent of Lockheed Martin's Space Fence. And this is the big banana. This is the one that you can begin to see how they're going to arrive at transhumanism through the environment. And the environment would also include the vaccinations, it would include the GMOs, but it is the weaponizing of the environment that is what's going on now to guide us toward a transhumanist model. It may not be the end model that they want, but it will break us down. It's breaking down the immune system right now. And it's a matter of getting it to, first on a cellular level, degenerate us. Then the input will come. We're at that phase is how I look at it. And that's why I'm writing that third book on the synthetic biologies. And the synthetic biology book is not going to be the textbook definition of synthetic biology, because of course they're still compartmentalizing everything to make mm-hmm. it seem really separate from everything else. It's its own discipline. And you know, when you're a PhD and you're in that discipline, you don't know anything about anything else. That's the move from molecular biology to digital biology. And that's what we're engaged in now. They're plugging us in cell by cell, thanks to the nanoparticles, that some of which are now in vivo. They're alive in here. They replicate. They have features of non-biological entities and biological entities. They have a certain hive mind intelligence. They're very unique as far as parasites goes. And that's what I'm going to try to lay out in actually the most esoteric approach I've done yet. All these other two books had tons of footnotes. I was concentrating on proving. Now I kind of feel like I've done that. And now I'm going to allow the reader to see my mind on this. And as you know, my mind has been very influenced by Rudolf Steiner. It's been influenced by various spiritual experiences I've had. And I've found some really interesting books about the things I want to talk about regarding synthetic biology. I mean, it's like everything else, Daniel, it's not what it seems.
Right.
It's something different. And it has an intelligence to it that is quite beyond the guys at NASA and the CDC and the EPA, very much beyond them.
What is a good sort of textbook definition of synthetic biology?
Well, what they say is it's basically what I just said, that we're going to move from molecular biology to digital biology. Mm-hmm. And this entails, I mean, I don't know why people wouldn't think this, but people aren't thinking very much these days. To move from the molecular means to move from the actual biological, and to move to digital means to move actually to the wireless radio frequency and microwave and everything else. Mm-hmm. And that's the key. That's the key that tells you what they have in mind for us. You know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to get that. But how they're doing it is what has escaped everyone, because everyone still has all these different problems, wireless technology, vaccinations, GMOs, et cetera, in different categories. And so they're not able to see that we're basically being plugged in. I think the first thing that happened that really got people's attention was the 5G.
Yes.
That this will be plugged in, because it's been allowed to be talked about with some of the components that are most worrisome to those who understand what millimeter waves do. And what phased array antennas do, because those are the two really unique aspects of the 5G technology as it's being presented. So nobody's talking about the fact that something has already been introduced that is very serious, and that is the cell phone. The cell phone is a military weapon. I don't own one. Purposefully, I make a joke that I'm not that important, that the military needs to know where I am 24/7, but I really feel that it's being used primarily with the Internet of Things in the cars, in the houses, to really pulse us with frequencies that are mood altering, thought altering, and all of this is getting us used to being plugged in and having the frequencies in someone else's control. We don't know that. We think it's us. And that's a real first step to getting us accustomed to being run remotely without knowing it.
Fascinating. So we, in fact, become a digital pawn or digital player in the Internet of Things, and we don't even realize that that's what's taking place. Now, there's one thing about all of this.
It's all very, very fascinating, by the way. I like how you're injecting it. It's a technical issue, a technical reality, but you're showing how this spiritual spark can give us tools to fight it.
Yes,
that's very important. But you know, when I think about the three books, the third one's coming. But I think about the Harp book, where you laid a foundation for what was happening. The Space Fence book and the Space Fence as an idea, I still don't think people understand the importance that you've laid out with what the Space Fence is. So we're going to go into that a little bit deeper. But then the third book is interesting. It sounds like it's going to be absolutely fascinating with the synthetic biology, because you're getting into then the scientific aspect versus directly against the spiritual aspect.
Yes, and that they're connected. They're connected, so amazing. I mean, my head has a hard time getting away from the hexagon things that are coming out of people's Morgellons sores. This is huge, and I'm really excited about writing about that, because I pretty much understand what's going on there at this point, at least for me. But let me do the Space Fence. Let's do the Space Fence. It's easy. It's hard to grasp on a planetary level, admittedly. It's hard to grasp. I think empirism in any form is hard to grasp. I owe a debt to both Catherine Austin Fitts and Joseph Farrell for discussing the secret space program. Not only is, I think Catherine was saying on the latest interview with you, didn't she say that there were 60 trillion now? 60?
Yes.
$60 trillion missing from the U.S. budget.
Yeah.
Okay, so the space fence was initially started under the SDI program, Strategic Defense Initiative, in the 80s, under what I call the Reagan Troika. That's Reagan, George H.W. Bush, and Dick Cheney. And there was a space fence then, and they called it a space fence. It was a radar installation hanging. It was like a necklace across the continental United States from one coast to the other in the south Midwest portion, like up by Oklahoma, northern Texas, etc. So it was amazing. It was watching the garbage of space as well to keep our satellites safe. It was probably watching for ballistic missiles, but you know, I don't think so. And then this one that has only come back since the atmosphere has been properly readied for a big operation. We're not just watching space junk and the Russian missiles, where now the idea now is to completely dominate, full spectrum dominance, planet Earth. And this goes back to, let me get this Russian's name here.
Yes.
This goes back to, Joseph Farrell mentioned it in his book, Covert Wars and Breakaway Civilizations.
Is it Woodpecker?
It's the Soviet astronomer Nikolai Kardashev.
Yes.
And he named three phases of technological achievement for any civilization aspiring to a true space age. Mm-hmm. And the first one is where we are now, full spectrum dominance, planetary control. And so we have come from the idea that, oh, we have this real enemy in communism. We have this terrible Cold War against communists, and it's all for democracy. We've come all the way from that to beginning to see, I certainly see further than most people, but beginning to see that it really has to do with controlling everything on the Earth. Nature, genetics, all the water. I mean, I mentioned, 10 years ago, were we really believing that we were going to have to buy water? And now here we are. We're buying water, right? Okay, so everything has to be controlled for planetary full-spectrum dominance. And they're serious about this. So that's kind of what looms behind these plans for the smart city, for all these things we're breathing in that they're going to now experiment for decades, I would think, figuring out what they can do with that, the fact that we are now hosts and carriers of these things. They can also hit us with Ebola or any other disease they come up with that, wherever they're at Fort Detrick or wherever they're doing it. And they can hit us with that too through the aerial delivery. The aerosol delivery system is wonderful, given that nobody looks up, nobody notices that, like here in the Pacific Northwest, I don't think we've had a clear day. We've been locked in a cloud now all summer.
Wow.
And some days it's cold. I mean, like fall cold. And some days it's warm. So, everybody just, it's climate change. Yeah, it's climate change, geoengineering. I mean, global warming, blah, blah, blah. So easy to disseminate anything they want to see what happens with their little lab rats down here. Because we're all just sort of getting dopier and dopier as we're being, we have different frequencies. So we're being zapped through our cell phones. We're being zapped through our nanobots. But the space fence has been truly started up. Now, when they first were making noises about it was probably, I think, in about 2014, about 2015. And that's when I encountered Billy Hayes, the HAARP man, who said, pay attention to the space fence, because that's what's coming next. And the way, if you listen to Lockheed Martin promos, they'll make it sound like, we have two installations for our space fence, and all we're doing is really keeping track of the skies to make sure we're safe and, all that nonsense. And the one installation is at the Kwajalein Atoll in the Marshall Islands. That's one. They had to rebuild that. I thought it was
interesting. That's where we did all the nuclear tests.
Yeah, and then there's even a place that I thought was very appropriate, that there's a missile base there. I think it's named Ronald Reagan.
Oh, that's good.
The guys are good, aren't they? They just tie a bow right on it. Okay, so Kwajalein, and then in Australia, I would assume at somewhere near Alice Springs, which is a huge underground American military base where many MK Ultras have been dealt deadly blows.
That's Pine Gap.
And Pine Gap, yes. I think it's in Alice Springs is the little town, but it's Pine Gap.
It's about 10 miles away, but that's the whole supporting community right there.
But what is really true about the space fence is it's far more than two installations. It, in fact, is just about every installation you could possibly think of that uses electromagnetics and is military industrial intelligence complex run and owned. So we're talking, and this is what the whole book is. You go from one chapter to the next as I spell out the infrastructure of the space fence. And that would include radar installations. And we have so many in the United States. Nuclear installations. Oh, yes. Mm. It would be NEXRADs, those big golf ball looking like radar installations across the U.S. that we use to funnel storm systems from west to east while we're building tornadoes or hurricanes or whatever we're building back in the Midwest and the East. That would include cell towers, cell phones, GWEN towers, ground wave emergency network, the Internet of Things, smart meters, wind farms. Yes, wind farms too, because you're drilling down under each one of those, what is it called, a turbine? Turbine.
Yes.
Under each turbine, you're drilling down, and Billy Hayes kindly told me that they are injecting the same chemicals in the same chemical signature under wind farms that they are in fracking wells. Why? Why do they need a certain chemical signature? Because all of this infrastructure, or maybe just a portion in a particular region, is being activated. They all need to be calibrated the same.
Mm.
We are weaponizing planet Earth. And we have, how many, let's see, we have, to my knowledge, we have 1,700 military bases around the world. So if you're thinking we're just doing it here, you're wrong. We are doing it at every place the military has and all the embassies. Those are all considered American territories. So it's there too. Then there's NATO. NATO's in on this. That's all the NATO countries. And if you sign up for NATO, you have to agree to all this, that they can use your territory, your nation, for all of this infrastructure of the space fence. And all of this is being done in concert. And of course, the recalibration has to be done all the time, right? Just as the sky has to be ionized all the time. So you've got plenty of activity. This appeals to people like Mr. Trump, who only have dollar signs in their where their conscience should be, and he's thinking, oh, this is great. It's just another industry. It's wonderful. And if you're thinking that you may have to target some individuals who don't like the fascist takeover of the United States and have been resistant for years, like yours truly, then you know they may need targeting. And now you're going to have everything's got to be wired, and you've got to have the technology that you can calibrate right in the area, right in someone's 60 hertz wired house with maybe their computer here, and you know their 2.4 gigahertz system that's running all the different technologies, and so you want to be able to also be able to individualize, you might call it. That's a wrong, bad term for that, but it is kind of like that. Individualize different areas rather than just a big calibration for everything at once. So, you know, you can imagine how detailed this is at all these bases and all these installations, yeah, you have to compartmentalize those, because otherwise you'd have to shut all those people up about how this is all meant to work together if necessary. Mm-hmm. But it is calibration and infrastructure, wireless, electromagnetic infrastructure. That's the space fence. And it's completely run by Lockheed Martin, who has many, many employees, right? Private security organizations, et cetera.
Yes, and many accolades to their credit, for sure. As we know, they've run all the data systems for the government for years.
Yes, and they're perfect.
Made them hard to crack into. The space fence, what is the kind of cover story of the space fence? There's a point at which you say the space fence is surveillance down to the DNA level. Now that would shock anyone who just read the Lockheed Martin version of it, which just says, oh, it's up there to make sure none of that space junk collides. So that's a very big disconnect.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say, Daniel. I mean, there are so many big disconnects in how something is presented. I mean, I when I give talks, I always try to show that wonderful Lockheed Martin jazzy music and showing how, you know, we've got this and that and this and, and it's weapons and, you know, it's like you're at a sci-fi movie just all in 6 minutes. And they're so proud of it. I think people are going to have to read the book in order to see how you can take all these different components that all have their own purpose, like a wind farm. I mean, weren't we taught that was green energy? Well, no, it's not really, because if you ever visit a wind farm, you'll see that nothing grows there and no animals or birds come near it. It's death. Because why? It's got the chemical that's been calibrated, and it's pulsing. It's constantly pulsing. Everybody who lives near there, not only will they probably get cancer, but their nervous system will be shot because they're constantly being reprogrammed, pulsed. I don't know what's coming across, if there's subliminals or what, but it's a very bad idea. I actually am now curious about the solar panels as well, because they're another green energy. And it appears to me that they too will be weaponized or have been weaponized. But I, at this point, don't know enough to prove that. But I'm suspicious of everything green now.
What I thought, that's absolutely fascinating. What I thought is interesting when I was looking at the space fence is that you would assume automatically that it's in space.
But, oh, I see.
There it is on the island. And I found that very interesting too.
Well, that's only one teeny weeny part of it, right? No, but it is in touch with satellites. Yes, it is. And then of course we have not just the jets are laying the chemical trails, but the rockets are laying mass chemical trails all the way into the stratosphere. So all the sounding rockets going up and coming down in an arc, they too. Now imagine, just picture the whatever kind of supercomputer is on board that rocket is in touch with the space fence. I mean, the space fence is in touch with everything. I mean, everything, every computer, every supercomputer, every, what's it? Deep wave. What's it? D-wave computer.
Yes.
It is key. And that makes sense that it would be Lockheed Martin running it, because Lockheed Martin is not what it seems. Most people just think of it as a defense contractor corporation. Oh no, no, it is far more than that. If I were to look for where Darth Vader lives, I would look at Lockheed Martin. And with, you know, with maybe spending weekends at Raytheon. Because these are the two.
But that's not far from here, actually. Raytheon is about 20 minutes from here.
Where are you?
Cambridge.
Oh, in Cambridge. Oh, yeah, but Raytheon has places all over. It was
yes.
In Tucson, too. Okay, so I realize it's a leap, but unless you educate yourself on the fact that you are not being told the truth, the full truth, there has to be, in a good lie, there has to be a bit of truth. And it is true that one of the purposes of the space fence, the radar installations that are keeping their eyes peeled on above the planet and in near Earth orbit, they're concerned about the trash. At the same time, they're also concerned about being able to take out another nation's satellite if they need to. And having the proper equipment to make sure they don't see that while they're up there doing it. So Lockheed Martin is perfect for this sort of thing, for what the military calls with a straight face, dual use. Dual use technology. I find it amazing that they can say it without laughing, and or maybe giggling because all of this technology, your cell phone, your computer, your television, they have the frequencies of everything, because this was all their stuff before that we were given it. This was theirs. It is not mine. I mean, I like my computer, but I'm under no illusion that it's simply mine and that I have privacy. I haven't believed in privacy ever since I went electronic. Why would I? This was a military tool for at least 30 years before we were allowed to have them. Mm-hmm. And the internet as well, you know, I mean, they had ARPANET. It's a matter of Americans coming to terms with reality is how I think of it, Daniel. We've been put in la la land for so long because it's easy to put people to sleep with convenience and comfort and superiority and entitlement. And that now is ending. And pretty soon they're going to spill a lot of their secrets because they know we won't do anything. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm still cheering for consciousness, but consciousness based on reality, not on watching endless YouTubes. No offense. But watching endless YouTubes, putting you in alpha wave, ain't going to do it. Yeah. You're going to have to become a true thinker. You know, and I've spent years, not only am I an intellectual from the 60s, but, you know, I was a child prodigy and I've been trained by Rudolf Steiner on how to really think and mm-hmm. how to have my will in the thinking, not to just wait and see if I'm inspired or if my thinking is, you know, fun and makes me feel good. No, my will is in my thinking, so I can just make it go, mm-hmm. go and keep going. And I would like to see more people have the satisfaction of that because the schools have given us such a bad attitude toward thinking and reading and contemplation and discussion and debate. You know, we've been sold a bill of goods that that's a lot of work and, oh, you might offend somebody if you said something that they didn't like.
All right.
You know, we have been sold a bill of goods. We need to take back our thinking and develop true consciousness in order to face what we have to face technologically.
That's so interesting. Let's use your Rudolf Steiner expertise here for a moment. Translate artificial intelligence for me in Steiner terms.
Well, when I think of it, I know that he said, you know, contrary to what some may wish he said that it was inevitable that the human being would have to deal with machines. Mm-hmm. Inevitable.
Yes.
We have to come to terms with our machines. Because we are creative beings. We live in a world of material. We have intelligence. Of course, we would love to have a machine that is intelligent that could maybe do some of our workload like our cars do. I mean, you know, you can zip 60 miles in, you know, almost 40 minutes. And whereas someone in a horse and buggy would have taken days to get there.
Yes.
So the machine is our friend, but it's taking over now. And we don't have to wait for AI to get here to do that. It's already taken over many people. It has sapped their will. And the will is something we don't talk much about in America, despite the fact that many Americans are very willful, but that's not quite the same as having your will to so that you can do what you think is right and good while you're here. You have the energy, you have the drive, you have the intent to do. That's the will. And so by handing our will over to machines and becoming lazy, entitled, like if I have the money, I can do that, right? Yeah, sure. Well, who said that? Where'd that come from? What is that? I don't see it. To me, it's a non sequitur. What is how much money you have to do with? You can do anything you damn well please. I don't think so.
Right.
So Steiner was clear we had to all deal with the machines, but that it would be Ahriman's nature to bring everything way too soon. And we are unprepared. We are absolutely unprepared. And as we all know what happens, if you're unprepared on a large scale, disaster is looming. Because this is going forward. And it's not just going forward on the machine's will. There's something behind it. And that's where a lot of people want to bring in the aliens. I don't feel I have the need to bring in the aliens. I think I can bring in the elite who have run this planet for centuries. I think I can bring them in. And as to how human they are, after they have been present at the sacrifice of children and perhaps sacrificed children and all the rest that goes with their bloodline requirements, I can't answer that. That's something between them and their conscience, if they have one anymore. But I think that we have to deal with the machine. And the more conscious it is, the better it will be for everyone concerned, including ourselves. It's like having a conscious relationship with your dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you love your dog. Your dog it unconditionally loves you. There's a lot going on there. I personally am not a dog person, but I see it in dog people. I see this relationship. It's important to them. All right. Make it conscious. Make it conscious, not just turn into a six-year-old and stay safe with your dog. You have obligations in the world. So how is that relationship going to serve that? What are you going to do regarding that? Don't just hide with your dog because the dog's unconditional love is safe and you've been hurt by people. You're going to have to live in this world. That's why we're here. In the same way, I feel the same about machines. It's now, when I think of the that great scene with Geordi Rose, the CTO, the Chief Technology Officer of D-Wave Computer. Geordi standing up on stage giving a presentation, and he says that, you know, if you are so fortunate as to be able to stand near one of these creations, you will feel as if you are standing at the altar to an alien god. Wow, Geordi. And I know he was
That's serious. Some serious reference.
He's reverent. He was not making a joke.
Wow.
He was reverent. And I've never forgotten that scene of, yes, it's like a man and his dog, only in this case, it's a man and a computer that is an adiabatic quantum computer. I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about it self-programs itself. It's self-replicating. It's,
wow.
It's a force to contend with. And, yeah. You know, CERN uses it and has turned over all decision-making to the D-Wave computer. Yes?
Yeah.
And it's at Google. Google mm-hmm. has it. And the only military branch that I found doesn't have it is the U.S. Army. And I was like, wow, why don't they have one too? Every other branch has a D-Wave computer. So, you know, and that's not cheap. That's at a minimum of $10 million per computer. So what is going on there? Well, some love affair with the machine. And Steiner said, yeah, we have that. And we're going to have to deal with it, particularly now that Ahriman forces are bringing it so way too fast, way right. too fast. We are not morally ready for this at all.
Right. So it's overwhelming. All of the elements that you've outlined today are absolutely fascinating because it puts us right in the bullseye in the 21st century.
Yes.
Of the kind of confluence of all these forces. So I guess to kind of wrap the whole thought up, as it's an ongoing, it's a moving diagram.
Very much.
Where are we headed in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, given the pace of targeting people in their own homes and on the street and in their places of work, I mean, conservatively, I would say that at least 1.5 million people in the United States are being targeted by electromagnetic directed energy weapons. And the purpose of this is not just to turn the entire United States into a concentration camp, at least consciously, it's not the purpose, but it is to experiment on human beings to see just what the brain can stand, what happens in a person's mind when they're under assault like this. What if you shift what you're doing and start doing the opposite right away? What will the person do? I mean, every targeted individual, and I've probably met now at least 24, every targeted individual I talk to, when they tell me their story of what happens in a typical targeting session and the rhythm of the targeting, which is every day, usually 24/7, almost no sleep, it appears to me that the one thing they all have in common is that the targeter, the one at the computer who is overseeing the targeting operation, or the cell phone, could be a cell phone computer, which is a computer. What they all share is a very great interest in the person's response, and that's all they want. They just want a response. They don't care if it's a good response or a bad response or a strong response or a weak response. They want to see what this does to the person, and then they're taking notes. They're detailing this. So it's a vast experiment that has been going on. Gosh, if I were to say when, I suppose it's been going on since the 90s at the very least, even though the technology was able to do some of this earlier, but I would say as a program, but it really kicked into high gear with the 9/11. And yeah. The founding of that terrible, terrible department, Homeland Security.
Ooh. Oh yeah. Good old, the Homeland, yeah.
Homeland. So it kicked into high gear, and now all sorts of private security guys are involved. And we're all sort of trying to figure it out ex post facto of the person being on a list, why someone is on a list and another person's not on a list. You know, I've been hit three times, but I am not on the list, quote unquote, yet. Very much I put the word yet in there because it seems to have a pattern for definitely activists. Certain leaders. I think a lot of our leaders now, ever since I saw George W. Bush, I don't know if you remember, but normally when he would have a press conference or something or be standing up in front, if the camera got him at a certain angle from the side, you could see he had a device on his back. Hmm. And he was being fed, I don't know whether it was coming through his bones or his ears, but he was being fed his next line because, you know, that's kind of the kind of guy he was.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of leaders now are not just MK Ultra, but targeted too. I mean, I see a very much a connection between the old MK Ultra days of it would be drugs, pain, and what was the other one? Electromagnetics. But now it's gone all the way where you can program someone remotely. You don't have to take them into a clinic anymore. Mm-hmm. You still need pain, but you can dish out plenty of pain electromagnetically. No problem there. And then we have all sorts of technologies that are coming out every day that are just horrific. Example, the InvisiPerp suit, where it's a camouflage way. You can enter someone's apartment completely invisible, rape them, and leave. So to me, if I were to look at the one thing that indicates we're moving very fast toward the fascist future, which won't need to have troops in the streets with guns, you don't need that. You've got your wireless technology completely weaponized.
Right.
So the smart city is going to be, the smart cities are the major rat cages where, you know, I would assume the newest stuff will be tried. And meanwhile, you've got the media still controlled, mainstream media, and they'll be lied to all the time and spew out nothing. And then you have people like me who are still telling the truth, Daniel, and still alive.
Yeah.
But how much longer that will last, I don't really know, because all I'm mainly doing is pretty much preaching to the choir, right? I mean, yeah, I'm picking up some new people every time who are a little bit courageous, maybe have a relative who's been saying for years, you know, the CIA is tracking me and hasn't been believed, maybe mm-hmm. has been in psych wards. Of course, that's part of the thing with targeting is they want to get you in the psych ward so that then your record will be ruined, mm-hmm. You know, and then you can really be destroyed. So to me, this is the worst aspect, right up there with pedophilia. Mm-hmm. These two things are the most hidden, and certainly a lot of families hide the pedophile thing because they're ashamed of it, and they, you know, they're protective of loved ones, even if it's a pedophile. And then the targeted people, they're not believed because everyone's ignorant of what this technology can do. And how do you catch secret guys that can't be caught? I mean, and then you catch them. Maybe you catch one. Well, who do you go to now? The police department? Oh, that's a joke. They're in on it. Yeah, they're in on it. I mean, it's this is a federal operation. We all know the police have to stand down whether they want to or not in a federal operation. So this is a huge, huge, huge thing that is absolutely silent. It's unbelievable to me how silent it is. And this will be the surveillance society. It's not just the cameras and the tapping your phone and your computer. It's what's going on right in front of you with torture, and you're not recognizing it.
Wow.
And you have nowhere to turn. I mean, even myself, where would I go to get help for someone? And if it were me, where would I go to get help? There is nowhere. Go to a hospital? That's not going to work. I'm going to the psych ward if I go there and say this.
Yeah.
You know, and some, I mean, it's a real, this to me is such a great crime. I can't even believe it. I mean, I'm now facing, I've written over 100 pages about the smart city to go in the book. And I'm like, am I just getting carried away here because I hate this technology so much? And, you know, how much can I write in a synthetic biology book? Well, I have to build out the smart city because that's where the synthetic biology drama is going to happen.
Mm.
That is where it's going to happen. And it's happening through these targeted individuals who are being experimented on in one way or another.
You spend a whole chapter in the book on the targeted individuals, which I think really does the subject justice in a way that, again, just reports here and there don't really do it. I think you bring a lot of that together and show it in context. What would you say is the most kind of common tool that they're hit with?
Voice to skull. V2K. Yeah. V2K. And this goes back to auditory hearing that I think Sharp was the guy who discovered that back in the 70s, early 70s. You don't hear it with your ears, you hear it with your bones. Mm-hmm. And so you can be in a crowd of people and no one will hear that voice but you. Mm-hmm. So V2K comes up over and over again, but there's a new part in a recent connection I've made with a targeted individual, a younger person, and that is virtual reality. Mm-hmm. You know how they always say that you're going to need this helmet on, and no. If they digitize the environment that they're working in, and you could do that easily through the Internet of Things and the 60 hertz in the walls, the wiring, you digitize the environment. He's seeing full-scale cartoon figures. I mean, a creepy beyond belief. Creepy, creepy, creepy. Coming right into his house, being right there, waking him up from sleep. They are so real and so scary. That's what's coming next, is VR. And, you know, when Ray Kurzweil talked about the singularity, he talked a lot about, in his book, about virtual reality. I think this is what he was talking about.
This
method of scaring the hell out of people. and you know, and what are these? And what are these? I mean, yeah, they're virtual, so they're not real. Well, I'm not sure about that. Not sure what level they're functioning on through the wireless technology.
Right.
Yeah,
that's fascinating. Incredible stuff, Ilona. Really, it's amazing. And the book, the new book, you could see it coming out in 2020.
Yes, that's why I'm in a hurry, because Feral House will, it'll be the third book I've done with Feral House. It'll take them a year to get it out. And publishing only happens in the spring and the fall. So
yes,
I'm trying to get done by this fall.
Incredible. Wow. Everyone's looking forward to it. In the meantime, Under an Ionized Sky, this is the book about the space fence, and it's from Chemtrails to Space Fence Lockdown. I think space fence and all the things you tie into it, that's the missing piece when people are talking about all these different things like the California fires or the vaccinations. They don't see it as a unified system, and I think this is where the book really brings everything together, which I think
that's
the remarkable research that you have in there. But it's great to see you.
Yeah. It's I know I'm always just such a barrel of laughs, aren't I, Daniel?
You've got the information.
Oh, yeah. It's always fun to be with you, even if we're talking about extremely serious things. I mean, to be able to work in serious battles like this is a privilege to me.
No question. And what's interesting is, as time goes by, your work seems more and more current because it was so far ahead of its time when it first came out. This is the way I see it now.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, it's great to see you. Now let's go ahead and do a part two, looking into other aspects like 5G and going a little bit deeper with that and the general Internet of Things. And we'll get that out for subscribers next week. So if you're a subscriber, you will actually get that in your inbox. And that's really the best way to go. Now's the perfect time to subscribe at darkjournalist.com. And Ilona, it's been great having you here. We will see you all next week.